Please open up your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 20. Gospel of John, chapter 20. We're going to start at verse 11 and go down to verse 18. This is God's holy word. May we receive it as such. But Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. As far as the reading of God's holy word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that these words that we read from your scriptures would leap out of the page in order to pierce our hearts, to teach us, to rebuke us, to train us in all righteousness, to comfort us, and empower us to live for you and your glory. Be with your servant now as he seeks to proclaim the word faithfully and clearly. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Saints of God, have you ever been at an event or a party, maybe a wedding, and you knew that an occasion like that calls for celebration, calls for you to be joyful, but you couldn't for whatever reason? You were going through something, or you were feeling bad, or whatever the reason may be, what you were feeling didn't fit the occasion. And my experience when I was at my brother's wedding, I actually was the best man, and I also had the chance to play a guitar piece for him, because I play guitar. And so I did a lot of work and writing down every single word that I was going to say in the best man speech, and made sure that you know my piece, my guitar solo was going to be perfect for the occasion. But once I got there, all I can remember is feeling absolutely nauseous. My palms were sweating, and I couldn't talk to anybody. You know, I was you know, physically there, but the lights weren't on, sort of thing. You know, and it was hard for me to concentrate. And especially when we got to the reception and everybody started eating the dinner. My brother saw me, and he noticed that, you know, I wasn't doing well. He's like, "Dude, what's going on?" He's like, "I'm just nervous. I'm nervous about the speech and all that." So it's okay. So he moved up the schedule so that we can do the speeches And so then I can, you know, get done with my guitar piece for him so that I can enjoy it. And I remember the moment that I finished playing my piece for him, for them. And I just felt a overwhelming sense of relief. Now I can breathe, I can eat, I can talk, I see everything, you know, in color, and I can enjoy being in the moment. And so in this account, we read John describing Mary's experience about the happiest day for all of God's people, which is the resurrection. There is no other day like the day of the resurrection, because Christ has risen, and therefore his salvation, our redemption is made sure. What Christ did on the cross can never be undone. And everything that he has said, everything that he has promised, is yes and amen. And so this is a time for celebration. And yet we see Mary weeping. Mary Magdalene, who was the first person to see Jesus, didn't see Jesus. She was the first to the party, but she couldn't celebrate. Instead, she was mourning. What is going on here? So John records her sort of transformation from from weeping to being able to rejoice at the event of the resurrection. Which leads us to my theme for us, because I think it's important that what we learn from this passage, what's true for Mary and why she was able to see Jesus clearly as he is the same truth for us. The only way you and I can see Jesus as he is by true faith. Not just believing things about Jesus, not just hearing or understanding certain things of what Jesus said, but actually believing in Jesus, believing in his word. They're two very different things. And we're going to go through that for us this afternoon. And with these, breaking this up into 3 points. Why was Mary weeping? Why can Mary see Jesus? And finally, why can we rejoice and speak out? So let's begin with the context here in chapter 20. Earlier in this passage, this is the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb because she noticed that the tomb was empty. And so she rushed, first of all, I'm going over the first part of chapter 20, rushes over to Peter and John, telling them, and this sort of reveals to us the beginning of her preoccupation with the body of Jesus, where they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they laid him. And so Peter and John, they ran to the tomb and began to investigate what was happening. And so they saw the same thing Mary saw and were also disappointed and went back home. And so we see once again, beginning in our passage of verse 11, Mary went back and stood outside the temple weeping. This is not a quiet, these are not quiet tears. She didn't just sort of felt sad. These are loud tears. This is a loud wailing, because she was seriously mourning over the loss of her Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why was she weeping? Well, first of all, because she loved him. And we continue to see her preoccupation as she stooped down to look into the tomb, just in case that maybe she missed something. She's trying to make sense of her world, because Jesus is supposed to be alive, but now he's dead. He's gone. And we remember the first encounter Mary had with Jesus was when Jesus rescued her from demon possession. You can read about that in Luke chapter 8. And so, perhaps this is looking into the passage, but perhaps she was mourning also because of wondering whether the enemies of God won. Did God's promises fail? My Lord is dead. And so this shows us, not only from Mary's perspective, but also the other disciples, they did not understand the scriptures, which is the second reason why she was weeping. And I get that from earlier. I'm sort of cheating, using the earlier verse, in verse 9. For as yet they did not know the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. They really didn't understand what Jesus came here to do. And so she was in shock. She was deeply mourning over the loss of her Lord Jesus Christ. And then she encounters two angels in white, one at the head and the other at the feet. Now, why does John bring that detail up? Some of the other accounts, I believe it's in the Gospel of Luke, where it points us only one angel. Well, that's not a contradiction, because there's only one angel that spoke. So, but John is sort of giving us a more full picture of what's taking place. But the placement of the angels is pretty curious to me. I believe what John is doing is he begins this theme in the beginning of the Gospel of John on how Christ has come to dwell with us. The word to dwell with us is to tabernacle, which is in the Old Testament where God was present with his people, where God's glory dwelled. What was in the tabernacle? What was the holiest place of the tabernacle? The Holy of Holies. What was in the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant. What was on the Ark of the Covenant? Two angels covering over the Ark, symbolizing God's holy presence that nobody could touch, nobody could approach unless it was the high priest. And so angels in the New Testament always announce a huge event of God's redemption. The angels were there to announce the birth of Jesus, and now the angels are here to announce the resurrection of Jesus, because Christ has indeed risen, and thus now he dwells with his people forever. And this is an occasion for celebration. This is what God's people have always wanted. This is what we have always wanted since the beginning of the garden. Our sin and death, and the result of sin, which is the curse of death, have separated us from God. And now these angels are here to tell us that Christ has risen and he dwells with his people. But again, instead of celebration, instead of rejoicing over seeing this angel, Mary is weeping. She hasn't gotten it yet. She's still wrapped up in a world in mourning. And so, another side note is this is pretty. It speaks to how severe her mourning and grieving was, because I don't think there are any other instances in the New Testament where when an angel approaches somebody that they're not immediately falling on their face in reverence. And so that's also another curious observation in our passage. But the main point is that instead of rejoicing at the event, she's weeping. And so they ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Oftentimes when we ask the why question, we try to get to the heart of the other person, where they're at. And so this question does just that. She says, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Once again, this almost obsession with trying to find her Lord, because to understand Jewish custom and Jewish culture, they had a high regard for the body of their loved ones once they die. In fact, they would take weeks and perhaps even a month to mourn and to be with other family as they are taking comfort in the death of their loved one. And so the idea that there was a grave robber, the idea of someone taking, maybe the Roman authorities took Jesus' body and disgraced him, was something that was so unthinkable to her. And also because of her love for Jesus, she wanted him to be honored. She wanted him to be respected. He deserved that. And so she turns in verse 14 and sees Jesus standing there. But, John notes, she does not know that it was Jesus. Now, why is this the case? From a physical standpoint, I don't believe that the reason why she couldn't see Jesus was because it was dark out. Some people say that. And it was hard to see him physically. I think this speaks to us in two different things. From a physical standpoint, I think the resurrection of Jesus has continuity for sure, but there is some sort of difference that has occurred when he was raised from the dead. What those differences were, I'm not quite sure. But the other disciples also, when they saw Jesus, and we see and the road to Emmaus, those disciples also could not see Jesus. So it's almost as if Christ veiled himself in some way, shape, or form because of the barriers that he had to cross before opening their eyes to see him. And so we see Jesus, and so she sees Jesus physically, but not Jesus as he is. And so Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She continues wailing and mourning. And she answers once again, thinking he is a gardener. "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." She continues in this obsession. "Do you know where his body laid?" Imagine seeing that from afar. And Mary talking to the risen Lord and asking him where his body is. "Do you know where you have laid him?" It's almost as if she were to find the body of Jesus, that she would put him back to the grave, to the tomb. Which again speaks to the understanding that she did not understand the scriptures. Now, before we are too hard on Mary, before we say, "Well, Mary, come on. One, he's right in front of you. Two, he told you this was going to happen multiple times, did he not? And yet you are slow to believe." Get with it, Mary. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters in Christ, do you live as if Christ reigns? Are you living as if Christ has forgiven you of all your sins? As if you abide in him and he abides in you? Do you live as if Christ indeed has risen? Where is your heart this morning? Do you believe things about Jesus or do you believe in Jesus? We can talk the talk, but do we walk the walk? And so there is this spiritual barrier that is happening here. Until Jesus says to her, Mary. Everything changes when Jesus calls her name, Mary. What's happening here? Because as soon as Jesus calls her name, she turns to him because she walked away from him thinking he's just a gardener. I'm going to go back to the tomb and perhaps I missed something and I'm going to keep looking until I find something that's different and continue to mourn. So she turns away and then she hears Jesus calling her and she turns back and calls him Rabboni. What happened? Why the difference? What made the difference? I believe this is the inward call of Jesus towards Mary. Earlier on, a few chapters in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know my voice. They will follow me when I call them. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, there are plenty of people that heard Jesus preaching. There are plenty of people that saw him do various miracles, eating the fish and the loaves of bread. That doesn't mean that they knew him. That doesn't mean that they heard him. What's the difference? How do we truly hear Jesus? How do we truly know Jesus? It is through faith. How does faith happen? It's a gift of God. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus calls out to Mary, calling her by name, I believe the Holy Spirit called her inwardly to open her eyes of faith to see Jesus as he is. And she turns to him and says, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Rabboni is it's the same thing as saying rabbi, which means teacher. We probably are familiar with that. But Rabboni has a little more affection, a little more high regard towards your teacher. I have a understanding of this because, you know, I grew up in a Spanish-speaking home. And so using words like hijo or hija, a son or daughter. But then if you say hijito, hijita, that means son or daughter, but more affection. I think this is the same thing that's happening here. That she, when she hoped, finally the Lord opened her eyes to see Jesus as he is. She saw him and she rejoiced. She grabbed him, as you see here in verse 17. Which is why Jesus had to say, don't cling to me. I don't think what's going on here is that Jesus is saying, don't embrace me. I think there's something else that's happening, but just for now, we understand that when she finally sees Jesus, she couldn't help herself. Everything clicked, everything changed because the Word of God was revealed to her heart. By the Word incarnate. And so Jesus says to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. What Jesus, I believe, is saying here are at least two different things. One, he is showing her what his purpose is. Jesus being raised again from the dead was not for the purpose of comforting just the people around him, just the 12 or the disciples, because he is in one place, in one location. And that's why Jesus says earlier, it is better for you if I go back to my Father. Because when Jesus goes and ascends to his Father, Jesus will then send the Holy Spirit to all of his people, so that when Christ says, I will be with you to the end of the age, he will be with you to the end of the age. Not just in one physical location, but he is now present everywhere the church is, everywhere the Spirit is. And so Jesus reminds her, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Now, another reason why I think Jesus is saying this is because of the obvious fact that she has a great deal of affection for Jesus. She loves her Lord. She doesn't want to let him go. She's been weeping and crying her eyes out trying to find him, and now she has found him, and she doesn't want him to go anywhere. She doesn't want him to vanish. I think Jesus is also saying, this is not the height of our fellowship. Just because you see me physically, just because you see me physically, this is not the end-all be-all for our fellowship. Because when I come to my Father, I'm going to be with you in a way that is even more intimate, which is through the Word of God, which should teach us, saints of God, that we are not at a disadvantage because we didn't physically see Jesus in the resurrection. We have fellowship with Christ because of his Word. Why? Why do we have even more fellowship with Christ in his Word than we would have if we saw him physically? Because the Spirit of God has to open our eyes to cling to Jesus by faith. It requires a supernatural work that is dependent upon the Spirit of God bringing Christ to us and bringing us to Christ. And so Jesus continues, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father. This is the marvelous news of the resurrection. This is what the resurrection has accomplished. You see it? When Jesus ascends to his Father, what he has accomplished is that now you can call him Father too. Now, yes, Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, but it wasn't secured. It wasn't permanent until he permanently accomplishes his salvation. The exclamation point of our redemption is in the resurrection, which is why Paul puts everything on the line in the event of the resurrection. If Christ is not raised, has not been raised from the dead, we are people most to be pitied. The resurrection is not some moral, inspirational story to make us feel good and enjoy chocolate bunnies. The resurrection is a once and for all event that has taken place, so that we are guaranteed to have fellowship with our Father. This is adoption, is what Jesus is getting at here. I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. Saints of God, we were children of wrath. We were all like sheep going astray, going our own way. We did not deserve this reality to call God our Father. But Christ has accomplished it outside of us, not because of our goodness, not because of our merits, but because of his mercy that we can call God our Father. And he says, to my God and your God, which is a fulfillment of what God has been promising all along, that I will be your God, you will be my people. And this is now made permanent because of the resurrection. Our Father now has fellowship with us, and we have fellowship with our Father in heaven, with Jesus. And so Jesus tells Mary to go and give this message. In verse 18, look at the response of Mary. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. At the very beginning of our passage, all that Mary wanted to do was be near to Jesus. But after the Lord opened her eyes, all she wanted to do was bring Jesus to everyone else, starting with the disciples. You see, the event of the resurrection is not just for our comfort, which it is for our comfort, but as a result of being comforted by the resurrection, we cannot help but preach this to the housetops, to spread this news that Christ has risen and has rescued sinners from the wrath of God. All because she had seen, all because Christ has risen. And it says that she goes to tell the disciples that she had seen the Lord, which we know is not just a physical seeing because she saw Jesus earlier, but was blind spiritually. But now she sees him not only physically, but spiritually as well. She has seen the Lord. Saints of God, if you are in Christ today, you have seen the Lord. You have seen the Lord because the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to place your faith on Christ, who is the only way to God, who is the only way where your sin problem and my sin problem can be taken care of. That we will no longer be separated by the curse of death, but now we are made in fellowship with the God who has redeemed us. And so because you have seen the Lord, you must tell others how they can see the Lord as well. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are at a loss for words why we have received such grace. Who am I? Who are we to call you Father? Who are we to claim the name of Jesus Christ? But by grace you have stooped down from heaven to take on our human nature, suffering and dying the death of a on the cross so that we could be brought to you, so that we could have fellowship with you, not only now, but for all of eternity. Father, we pray that this would anchor our hearts and our souls and whatever seasons that are to come in our life, to know that this event that you have risen from the dead will never change. Our feelings would change. Our circumstances would change. But the truth of the gospel will never change. The Christ who is, who was, and who is to come will always be as such. He will always be our God. He will always be his people by your mercy and by your grace. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.